Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vengen. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning, the final show with us for Michelle Knezovic today here on the program. A tear rolling down her face as we speak.
Yeah, well,
I knew her when.
I know, right? Chase told me today or yesterday, he was like, "You're going to cry tomorrow on the show." And I was like, "Oh gosh, are you about to do something?" And so stay tuned. Probably at like 10:45.
He's going to serenade you.
Oh, so there you go. He can't play the guitar, which I was very surprised.
I'm really hoping he doesn't do it on the air, though.
Listen, that would be great. That would be great content right there.
It makes two of us. We'll see what happens on that front. By the way, speaking of Chase McCabe, we got their your draft coverage tonight coming up at 6 o'clock. I'm really excited about this. Draft night in Smashville, I'll be a part of it. Willie Donick will be there with me. Max Herz going to be a part of things down on Radio Row for the draft coverage tonight. Chase McCabe, Pete Weber's going to drop by. We're going to have a lot of people dropping by tonight from Bridgestone Arena from the 2023 NHL Draft. NHL Draft coverage brought to you by International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, Electronic Express, Oil Fire Whiskey, and Farm Bureau Health Plan. So looking forward to that tonight beginning at 6 o'clock.
Will you be joined by the biggest Predators Bobo in town, Jared Stellman?
I don't know.
I was listening to Jared yesterday.
Okay.
And I texted him this, so he knows how I feel. But I texted him yesterday after hearing some of his show, and they said, "I think you've turned into everything you hate, the Predators Bobo."
The Preds Bobo.
You love the coach. You love the general manager.
He does.
You think they're going to make the playoffs. Like, it's pretty Bobo
it
of
is.
Jared. You know, and look, there have been some lean years for the Predators lately where they've told us they were going to be competitive and they haven't been competitive. And we know how Jared felt about John Hines, and we know how Jared felt about David Poile.
Yeah.
And we've and look, I understand Barry Trotz has done a lot of a lot of things so far as, you know, incoming general manager that has the fan base excited, but you know, hearing Jared yesterday just kind of came to me. I was just like, what a Bobo.
It is a little bit of an about face that he's gone with the Predators here.
A Bobo about face.
A Bobo about face. I like it.
A Bobo face.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
A Bobo-t face. I don't know. But Jared Stillman, Nashville's biggest Bobo.
That's right. Looking forward to that.
Clip that. Use that.
Looking forward to that. I believe that I'm going to be stepping in for Jared versus Joe. So looking forward to that. Mark, give me a pep talk later. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program as well. Adam Kimmelman coming up at 7:30 to break down the NHL draft. And Adam, it is interesting. We've talked a lot about, you know, what could happen with the draft as far as trades and could the Predators move up in the draft. And you look at the top five, there are, depending on who you ask, I mean, I think one and two, to me anyway, are pretty clear. Like, Connor Bedard's obviously going number one. We know that. I'm pretty sure Adam Fantilli is going number two out of Michigan. And then beyond that, it's going to be interesting. There's Leo Carlson in that mix, who's a centerman. Will Smith, who is a centerman in that mix out of the United States Development Program. You've got Reinbacher, the defenseman. I'm going to be interested to see where he ends up. Maybe the most interesting player in the first round is Matvei Michkov out of Russia, who is a supposedly elite goal scorer and I think is going to go really high. The question is where, because there are obviously with the Russian situation going on and just some different things with him, depending on where you see him, I've got some people think he's going 3, some people think he's going 10. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see where he ends up in the draft tonight.
So I'm looking at NHL.com's most recent and final mock draft, which includes our guest coming up, Adam Kimmelman,
yep,
as well as Mike Morial, who both of whom are very in tune with the prospects. And they did a dueling mock draft, but they both submitted their picks for each of the, you know, for the first round, and they agree on the first four. They both have Connor Bedard, of course, going to Chicago, Adam Fantilli to Anaheim, Leo Carlson to Columbus, and Will Smith to San Jose. Where they split is starting at number five. to Montreal. You know, Kimmelman has Matvei Michkov, who you just mentioned, the very talented Russian player, going fifth to the Canadiens. I'm looking to see where Montreal has him going eighth to the Capitals.
Yep.
So they split. So
I'm looking at Scott Wheeler on the Athletic. He's got him going 7 to Philly. So
yeah. So it seems like somewhere in that 5 to 10 range is where he'll likely go. So of course, when I pulled up Kimmelman's and Montreal's mock draft, I immediately went to number 15 because I wanted to see who they have going to the Predators. And Adam, and we'll ask him about this, has Oliver Moore.
Yep.
Who is a center from the USA National Team Development Program, listed at 5'11", 195 pounds. Hopefully that's big enough for the texter who was concerned about the size of Alex DeBrincat. This is what Kimmelman wrote about Oliver Moore. Quote, Barry Trotz, who will take over as general manager on July 1st, wants its scouts to, quote, take some high-end swings on some guys. So Moore would be the perfect addition here. The left-shot center is considered the best skater in the draft class with a skill set reminiscent of Detroit Red Wings forward Dylan Larkin.
Yep.
So, like, that all sound. I mean, look, that sounds good, right? But here's where I fall with the NHL draft, because, you know, Adam and Mike and Scott Wheeler from The Athletic, as you mentioned, there are people who are experts at this, who watch all of these players, who know these players inside and out. I have never seen any of these players play hockey. I've seen highlights, but that's just it. It's highlights. You've seen the good stuff.
Sure.
And it's easy to, you know, to clip the good stuff and put it all together. So I've never seen Oliver Moore play hockey. So it sounds great that he is reminiscent of Dylan Larkin, according to Adam Kimmelman.
Sure.
I have no idea. And the thing about the draft as well is we are not going to know whether or not these were good picks
for a while.
For a while. Now, some players come in and play right away. Look, like the players at the top of the draft are going to play right away. Connor Bedard's going to play right away. Adam Fantilli is going to play right away. Leo Carlson's going to play right away. I would imagine that the players the Predators pick, assuming they pick make their two selections in the first round, are not going to be on this team for at least a couple of years.
So
we won't know for several years whether these players were the right pick. So I understand the anticipation of tonight. It's Barry Trotz and David Poile. It's David Poile's last official duty, really,
yep,
as general manager of the Nashville Predators. So I know there's excitement, but we're not going to know what these kids are for a few years. So like, you're okay. I'm not saying you can't be excited. You should be excited, but temper expectations, please. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, especially, you know, if they're staying at 15 and 24 in their two first-round picks tonight, it's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out and what they go with. I mean, look, I think all of us would agree that if you could pick somebody for them to draft, like by position, it would probably be a centerman, mm-hmm, just because you want to eventually find that number one guy. Like, you got to find a number one centerman at some point. And I think if they don't go that way tonight, there will be some Predators fans that are disappointed. We talked about this yesterday too. Like, they need defensemen as well. So I mean, there's a chance that number 15 rolls around and that the best player on the board is a defenseman. I mean, there's all sorts of defensemen that could go in that range. Now there's some wingers too, and that would be interesting if they went the winger route. I mean, you just got to go the best player, like Scott Wheeler in The Athletic has the Predators staying at 15 and taking Gabe Perreault, who is a winger. So,
and I believe that was who Mike Morial had the Predators taking at 15 in the NHL.com mock draft.
Right. So, like, you know, obviously if he could score, great. I mean, you'll take anybody that can score, but it's going to be really interesting to see, like, what the philosophy is from the Predators there. Like, Cody on the text line says, Barry Trotz keeps saying he wants a centerman. If he can't make a trade up, do we fear that he could reach just to get the center? Like, I don't think he will. I mean, it's always a fear, and the taking big swings part of it is interesting because, you know, he said that a few times. Does that mean that they are more willing to take a guy that maybe is a little bit more raw around the edges, maybe some question marks, but has the ability to be a top-end guy if you develop them properly. Like, is that reaching? Like, what would you call that? I don't know. But I do think, look, there will be a centerman there and available at number 15. And it really just falls to where you've got him on the board. Like, I still say if you're the Predators and 15 rolls around and you've got a couple centermen there, but you've got a defenseman that you have ranked higher, like, I would probably go defenseman at number 15. That's just me.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, and, you know, I don't know the answer about reaching, and that goes back to my point about, you know, not knowing these players. Like, I won't know if it was a reach or not. You can read the experts, and they will say it's a reach, but, I mean, and they know better than a lot of people, but, you know, things could pan out differently. I mean, there have been plenty of examples throughout sports of a player who was a quote-unquote reach that ended up being just fine, if not better, you know, better than fine. So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested, you know, for me, the aspect of this that I'm interested in is how aggressive will the Predators be with all of the picks that they have? Because I've heard on this station multiple takes on this. I've heard people, I know Jared was talking about yesterday that I think he wants them to make all of the picks, right, all 13 picks. And I understand Jared's point of view, which is the more picks you make, the more likely you are to hit on someone.
Right.
I get that. I am of the mind that if you can package some of those picks or some of the picks that you have next year as well, because you have multiple picks in multiple rounds next year, to move up to get someone who is, you know, theoretically a higher, you know, a more talented player, I would do that. Like, if you have to trade, like, I'm just spitballing here. If you have to trade three of your 13 picks, the ones that you're coming in with,
right,
to move up in the draft and take a higher-end player, I think that's worth it more than taking just 13 picks for the sake of taking 13 picks. But yeah, that's just me.
It's a really interesting philosophical discussion. Like you said, I mean, I can see both sides of it. I tend to lean more with you. Like, if you've got a guy that you feel great about being a great player in the NHL one day, I would move up and try to do that if you're able to, if you're the Predators. But
right.
I'd be interested to get everybody's thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Should the Predators hang put and pick all 13 of their selections in this draft? Should they try to package them together and move up? Got some other questions to get to on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. The NHL Draft is today here in Nashville. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. What should the Predators do? Should they move up? Should they hang put and pick at number 15 and 24 tonight and use all 13 of their picks? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Travis in Nashville. Travis, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. I listen to you guys every morning. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset they should definitely trade up to get somebody that could at least play next year. I'm tired of seeing them be mediocre at best. So I'd really like them to trade up as much picks as needed to get in the top five and definitely do something with somebody that could actually play sooner rather than later. It's my thoughts.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Travis. Appreciate it. I mean, it's that is a question that I would love to know. Well, I guess there's two questions that go along with it, Adam. Number one, if you're a team in the top five, and look, take Chicago out of this. I think you could probably take Anaheim out of it too. Like, I don't know why Anaheim would trade out at number two, but maybe they would. But if you're a team that's three through five, what are you asking for in terms of the trade compensation that you would want to move out of that pick? And the other part of that, Adam, is like, how high would Barry Trotz be willing to go to trade up into the top five? I don't know the answer to that, but my guess is in order to do it, you'd have to trade a lot.
Yeah, so I believe there was a report from David Pagnotta, who of the fourth period, he said yesterday that perhaps Montreal would be willing to move off of number five. And I know that we in the mock draft we were just reading from Adam Kimmelman, who will join us in the next segment, you know, he had, I think he had Matvei Michkov, the Russian player, going at number five.
Yep.
And now, he, you know, there, you know, there is a headline in the Toronto Star that says Matvei Michkov is the number one pick who won't go number one in the NHL draft.
Right,
like he is that talented, but there are a lot of question marks about him and his situation. He's under contract in the KHL in Russia for 3 more years. So it would be that long until he comes over. So if you draft him, he is not a player who is going to be on your team next season.
Correct.
So you know, he's young enough. I think he's 18 years old. So he'll be very. He won't even be close to his prime when he gets to North America. But it's not happening for the next few years. You know, as it relates to what it would take to move up, like I mean, look at like Alex Newhook yesterday. Who was a first round pick.
Correct.
In his draft,
2019.
He went for the 31st and 37th picks, so that's the late first round and the early second round, and there was a prospect thrown in there too. So if it took two premium draft picks to get Alex Newhook, who is a fine player but hasn't been, you know, he did not live up to expectations in Colorado. I can only imagine what it would take to move up into the top five. If you're the Predators, I think that means you're trading both of your first round picks this season. So you're giving whichever. Let's use Montreal as an example. At five, you're giving Montreal 15 and 24. You're probably giving them one of your second round picks.
Yep.
And you're probably giving them at least one prospect of note, whether that's Evangelista or Parsonen. Or, one of those players, like a prospect that you know that Predators fans know.
Sure,
like that is what I think that's the bare minimum of what it would take to move them to the top five. You will trade both of your first round picks that you currently have. You'll probably trade one of your other premium picks that you have multiple versions of, probably the highest one you have, which is yours.
Yep,
and a prospect of note. Like, that's, I think, the starting point. That would be, if I were Kent Hughes, the GM of the Canadiens, that's what I would start with.
Well, and then that becomes the question of, you know, is that worth it if you're Barry Trotz? I mean, some people would say, yeah, go get one of those high-end guys. Some people would probably say, nope, that's a whole lot to give up for a top-five pick. So, you know, I have no idea whether or not Barry Trotz will try to get in on that. I have no idea what he's willing. Like, what's his walking away point of, yeah, it's just too much. I can't do that. I mean, obviously, you know, he's publicly said that he's tried to move into the top five and now has said that, you know, he's not had success doing that to this point. Now, things can change. It is the day of the draft. So just because you've not been able to trade up into the top five or the top eight or whatever it is to this point doesn't mean that you won't be able to do it once teams are on the clock and a draft board shakes a certain way. Teams may be trying to move out. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that could happen tonight once the draft rolls around, but it's going to be really interesting to see what Barry Trotz and the Predators do on that front. Glenn from Laverne on the text line says, do we have any confidence that the Preds can develop players properly? This is from Glenn from Laverne on the text line. I mean, my response to that would be, I mean, I don't know, because it's a brand-new general manager and it's a brand-new coaching staff. So you've got Andrew Brunette stepping in as head coach. Now, granted, High Note's still here, Richard's still here, but you got a new head coach, you got a new general manager, so it's not the same comparison as it comes to developing players now.
No, and look, I know that, you know, the Predators have a less than stellar record of developing high end forwards.
Correct.
Like, they can get players to the NHL. They can get productive players to the NHL. But they haven't been able to get the top players to the NHL. Like, you know, Colton Sissons has been Colton Sissons, I think, is the perfect example. Colton Sissons has been a steady hand for the Predators for several years. He's been an important member of the team. He's come up in big moments. You know, obviously his hat trick in the Western Conference Final immediately comes to mind.
Sure.
In 2017. But Colton Sissons is not a needle mover.
No.
The Predators have not had a lot of success up front in developing needle movers.
They've had a ton of success in goal and on defense.
Yes, they have. I mean, Pecorine, UC Saros, Roman Yossi, Shea Weber, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, Ryan Suter. Like, I mean, to me right now, and you've been around longer than I have, so you can tell me. To me, if someone were to say to me, who is the most skilled forward that the Predators have drafted? Yep. So I'm not including Philip Forsberg in this.
Right.
I would say it's Alexander Radulov.
Yeah.
And Radulov had a good career, but he wasn't a game changer. I mean, he had game changing ability.
The thing is, you could probably make an argument for Kevin Fiala, but he didn't do it here.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
That is a good point. Kevin Fiala has turned into a really good player, and the Predators knew that when they traded him, that was the risk that they were going to take, but they weren't convinced it was going to happen here. So now it's happened in Minnesota and Los Angeles. So, I'm not saying that if they draft a forward, that forward is screwed because he came to Nashville.
Right.
But, we'll see if it change. We'll see if that development process changes under Barry Trotz.
Well, it has to change, right? I mean, at some point, you've got to have a higher hit rate on big time forwards, right? I mean, look, to their credit, we've talked about this before. Like, they've never really been bad enough to have that top pick at forward. I mean, they had the number 2 overall pick the year they came in. And it was with David Legwand. And David Legwand was a good player, but David Legwand was not a top forward. So they've never really had that opportunity to select a top forward really, really high in the draft. Now, having said that, you can find forwards in the draft that turn into top players. Like, I got a couple of examples for you a little bit later in the show when we do The Choice Is Yours, of two specifically that the Tampa Bay Lightning have found that the Predators had an opportunity to draft along with every other team in the NHL, and they didn't do it. I mean, you can find those stories for any team throughout the league. I'm just saying, like, there are opportunities without having, the number 1 overall pick,
right,
where you can develop forwards that way.
The most obvious example that comes to mind is, I believe it was the 2015 draft.
Yep.
The Boston Bruins had 3 consecutive first-round picks, 13, 14, and 15. They took Jacob Zboril, Jake DeBrusk, and Zachary Senyshyn.
Yep.
And DeBrusk is the only one that turned into an everyday NHL player. And he's a good player, but he's not probably 14th pick material. And then, of course, you look at, okay, who are the next 3 players taken off the draft board after the Boston Bruins made their 3 consecutive picks? Matthew Barzal,
yep,
Kyle Connor, and Thomas Chabot.
Pretty good.
Like, imagine if the Bruins would have hit on those 3 picks and taken those 3 guys, like, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
You can have a high pick and screw up. Like, that happens. I mean,
happens all the time.
It happens all the time. So I'm interested to hear what you've got for The Choice Is Yours.
Yep, looking forward to that coming up at 8:30. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Adam Kemmelman from NHL.com, a draft expert. We'll look ahead to the draft tonight coming up with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. It is NHL Draft Day here in Nashville. We got you covered on that all morning long here on the show. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam Kemmelman from NHL.com. Adam, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Welcome to our city. Looking forward to a fun day here today. Adam, I want to start just generally speaking on the draft front, because I asked David Poile about this the other day, and he said that this is one of the best drafts that he's ever seen on paper heading into the draft. And obviously you're talking about a guy that's been around this for a long time. How do you view this draft class in terms of the quality and the depth that we'll see rounds 1 through 7?
Well, I generally, ask people to say, ask me that question 5 years from now, and I'll be able to give you a better answer. But I think if you look at where this group of players is now in their development, in their skill set, and you project where their ability trending, their development line is going, you're looking at guys who are going to be numerous guys, not just the top 3 or 4, numerous guys who are going to be foundational parts to really successful NHL teams, top line forwards, top pair defensemen, big time contributing goalies. I think this draft is as deep as any of the ones I've covered since I've been at NHL.com since 2008. So this stacks up to be a very good group, and it's a good year to have multiple high picks in this year's draft.
Well, and speaking of that, Adam, the Predators have 15 overall right now. They've got 24 overall, and we'll see whether or not, you know, Barry Trotz decides that he wants to move up. I think he wants to. Whether he can find a partner to do so remains yet to be seen. But, you know, there are a lot of guys that could go in that range from, you know, Gabe Perreault to Oliver Moore. You know, there's a ton of different guys that could go, you know, in the 15 range. Tell me specifically about Oliver Moore. And the reason I ask that is because, you know, I think Predators fans around here are really pulling for a centerman for the Predators to draft. They've never had that number one centerman, that legitimate number one centerman. So what do you think about Oliver Moore heading into this draft?
Well, from numerous scouts I've talked to, he's the best skater in this year's draft. He's got the fastest skater. He's a guy that, you know, I found it interesting that a few weeks ago Barry Trotz said, you know, he wants his scouts to take some high-end swings on some guys. If Oliver Moore's there, he sort of fits that bill with the speed, the head for the game, the way he's able to function at pace. You know, he's got good size. He's 5'11 and 180, 190 pounds. So, you know, you're talking about a guy who certainly has some good strength on his frame, and he's still able to get up and down the ice, similar to Dylan Larkin. I think that's the skill set that, you know, as scouts are pointing to, you know, if he hits his full potential, it's a pretty good find there if you're picking at number 15. So I think Oliver Moore has a chance to be an outstanding NHL player. You know, he's going to go to University of Minnesota for at least a year, so you're going to have a little bit of patience. He's not a guy that can step right into your lineup. But I think Oliver Moore projects to be, you know, as you said, a top-line center that you can build around.
Adam Kimmelman of NHL.com joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, to me, the most intriguing name in the first round of the draft, and I know I'm not alone in this, is Matvei Michkov, you know, the young Russian who has all of the talent in the world. There was a headline in the Toronto Star saying he's the number one pick who's not going to go number one in the NHL draft. There are a lot of questions, of course, about, you know, how long he could stay in Russia. But there's one question that we don't need answered, and that's how talented he is. Just based off of your research, your conversations with people around the league, you know, what is your take on Michkov, and where do you think he'll go in this draft?
I think from a raw skill perspective, he's right there with Bedard. I think he's got an outstanding, you know, the speed, the head for the game, the skating, the ability to do things at high rates of speed, create offense for himself and his teammates. You know, he's done it now against older, more physically developed men this season in the KHL. You know, once he got the ice time that sort of he needed, because he wasn't getting it early in the season, he had to go down to the Russian minor league for a little bit. When he ended up in Sochi, which is one of the lesser teams in the KHL, he got the ice time he needed, and he really prospered. And you just watch him in that environment. He was able to function, and he stood out as an 18-year-old against, you know, proven professionals. So that tells you what kind of skill set he's got. The issue there is, when are you going to get him? You know, how much patience are you willing to have for a guy who has a pretty solid contract for the next three seasons? You have to be willing to wait until 2026. They really even consider him putting him into your lineup. So the GM who selects him has to have enough belief in what they're building and what they have that he's still going to be there to reap the benefits of what a Matvei Michkov potentially could bring. So I don't know if every GM in the league has that confidence in what they're doing and if they're going to be able to see it through, because the easy comparison is Kirill Kaprizov in Minnesota. You know, they drafted him, and it wasn't until three GMs later that, you know, you saw him in North America. So you have to be willing to know that you're going to have to, you know, have that patience. But from a skill perspective, there are not many players better than Matvei Michkov. He is definitely the most interesting guy and the guy with the most questions coming into what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, you know, another player that fits that mold as well, someone who was drafted and took a little while to come over, was Evgeny Kuznetsov. You know, he was drafted by the Washington Capitals, and it took a few years. I remember George McPhee saying that when he finally came over, it was like seeing the Loch Ness Monster for the first time, just because of how long it had been since they drafted him until he finally came over. And Kuznetsov, of course, has had a really strong career for Washington. Adam, when you look at the draft as a whole, the first round specifically, which team or teams intrigues you the most? And just in terms of, you know, what player they could pick, you know, how active they could be moving up and down the board, you know, is there a team that you are keeping your eye on the most as the first round kicks off tonight?
I'm really curious to see what Arizona does. You know, I had the chance to speak to Bill Armstrong at the scouting combine a few weeks ago, and you know, they're confident they're going to get two outstanding players, but he also said we have a chance to do some damage here. So they can take some really big swings. They can look to try to move up into, you know, a couple of spaces from number six with the two picks that they have. You know, they could try to move back and also stockpile some more. You know, this is, like I said, this is the year that you want to have as many number one picks as you can, because even if, you know, they slide back from number 12, where their second choice is, to number 15, number 16, they're still going to get a really good player if things, you know, project the way they project. You know, they can fill a lot of needs with this opportunity. So Arizona is going to be really interesting. In my mock draft, I have them taking, you know, a defenseman, David Reinbacher, who's the best defenseman, I believe, in this year's draft at number 6. And at number 12, I have them taking Colby Barlow, who's a top-end winger coming out of Owen Sound in the Ontario League, very reminiscent of a Jeff Skinner type, just with the shot that he has. But, you know, you can add those two players to your organization. You've done very well for yourself. But even if those aren't the guys that project to go in that range look to be outstanding players. So they're definitely a team to watch, because they could be very curious.
Adam Kimmelman with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, last thing for you here. We've known for a long time that Connor Bedard is going number one in this year's draft. I'm curious of your thoughts on Fantilli. Like, if Bedard isn't here, is he the clear number one in this draft? Like, what do you think of Fantilli and what he projects to be at the NHL level?
Yeah, in my mind, if there was no Bedard, Adam Fantilli would be absolute number one pick in this year's draft. You know, and as much of a lock as to me as he is, Bedard is to go number one to Chicago. I think Fantilli is not to go number two to Anaheim. When you're 18 years old and you go into NCAA hockey and you dominate the way Adam Fantilli does, or did, that's a rare thing, to lead all NCAA players in points, tie for the lead in goals, win the Hobey Baker, and kind of lead your team to the Frozen Four. Not many 18-year-olds walk into the University of Michigan and are able to do that. Then you look at the fact that he was able to be flexible enough in his game that he goes from being a top-line center, number one power play guy, to play for Canada at the World Juniors in a bottom-six winger role, and he embraces it, and he helps Canada win the gold medal there. Then he goes to the World Championship again, you know, knowing he's going to have to, again, take a lesser role against NHL guys, embraces it, helps them win a gold medal again. So that's the kind of thing that stands out to NHL teams, that you don't get the boo-boo face when you're told you can't play in the number one role, you can't play in the number one power play. You're going to have to maybe be a little more defensive, a little more dump it in and dump and chase versus big aching skill plays, because you're not going to have the time to do them. So the fact that he was able to do it and do it willingly and embrace it, that stands out to teams. So, yeah, I think Fantilli projects to be, you know, 6'2" and 200 pounds when he gets to the NHL. I think one more season of college, but I think he looks like he's going to be a dominant power center. And, you know, you see that, you think a little bit of Ryan Getzlaff in Anaheim. So I think he could have that level of impact with the Ducks.
Well, Adam, really good information, man. Enjoyed getting your perspective. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll see you tonight at the draft.
Sounds good, guys. Nice to catch up with you.
Absolutely. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the draft. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. It will also have a little bit of an NHL draft flavor to it as well, so looking forward to that coming up next. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
So Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. I should have known one shining moment was coming one last time before Michelle
you
gets
should
out
have
here.
Known. You should
I
have known.
I can't believe you hate this song.
It's terrible.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, we love it because we are fans of really good basketball programs, Adam.
I mean, to be fair, the last time Kentucky had his one shining moment was when?
TV was on black and white, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Adam.
Yes. I'm just saying. I mean, Kentucky's been in the montage, but
Duke lost to Tennessee in March. That is awful because they don't win in March. I don't want to hear it.
You know, Kentucky lost to Tennessee in March last year in the SEC tournament.
Was Kentucky in the NCAA tournament this year?
Yes, dude.
How did they do?
They were out the same weekend Duke was out, so don't even.
It'd be by K-State. Mm. I enjoyed every last second of it.
Where did Oscar Tshiebwe get drafted?
Well, that doesn't, I mean, I don't really care.
You don't care,
I care after they leave. It's like, whatever.
No, I was the first to say he should stay because he is not going to get drafted. And look what happened. He should have stayed. Okay, moving on. But yes, you should have known, Robbie, that was coming.
I should have. By the way, continue to send your well wishes to Michelle, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Her last day with us here on the program before she takes off to New Orleans. What, are they the Emerald City? What are they? Is that what they are? Am I making that up?
I don't think anybody calls it that. The Big Easy.
Well, I know that.
The Emerald City. I never knew that.
I totally get
that. That is my birthstone, ladies and gentlemen.
Just don't say New Orleans or anything like that.
I think I just made that up. No. Emerald City's in Wizard of Oz. So I couldn't
tell you. It is. Which that movie has given me nightmares still to this day.
Do you like
the movie came out the last time Kentucky was relevant in basketball?
New Orleans cuisine? Are you into gumbo, jambalaya, po' boys, beignets?
Listen, po' boys are going to get me in trouble because I could eat probably like 10 of those.
My favorite po' boys in New Orleans, Johnny's po' boys. So hit up Johnny's.
I'll put it on the list.
Yes, good stuff.
It's the Crescent City. That's what I'm
the
going
Crescent
for.
City.
Emerald,
yes.
Crescent, whatever.
As you fly into Louis Armstrong International Airport.
That's right. All right, my rant today is pretty simple. We're gonna keep going with the NHL draft talk because we got a lot to get to on that front. But it's not an angry rant. It's not a please be quiet rant. It's just I found it funny, and I think we need reminding heading into the draft. There have been a lot of people that have either texted into the text line the last couple of days. I've texted my personal text line in the last couple of days and have asked me, hey, what do you think the Predators would have to give up to get the number one overall pick? And I'm like, guys, I don't know that there's an answer to that question.
Their whole team.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that would do it. Like, I think they could offer everyone, and it's not happening. Like, I think we all need to accept heading into the draft tonight that Connor Bedard is going number one. He's going to the Chicago Blackhawks. And quite frankly, I think we probably – and I know there's never total guarantees in the NHL. I get that. But we probably need to also accept that he's going to the Chicago and he's going to be really good there for a long time. And this time, 10, 15 years from now, you guys are going to hate Connor Bedard because of how good he is in Chicago. So let's get that straight going into the draft. There's not a package the Predators can put together to get Connor Bedard.
And here's a quote from Kyle Davidson, GM of the Chicago Blackhawks. This is courtesy of our friend, Scott Powers, not a popular person in Nashville.
He's not.
Because, of course, Scott last year left Roman Josi off his Norris Trophy ballot.
He did.
This is from 16 hours ago. Kyle Davidson on whether any GM has approached him about trading the Blackhawks' number one pick. Quote, nope. End quote.
Nope. Sure hasn't.
Not happening, guys.
Like, if you're a GM around the league, that you kind of have to be like, well, that's probably not even worth the phone call.
No, it's not. It's not. Like, when Barry Trotz has been talking about getting into the top four or five, I don't think he's calling Chicago. He's probably calling Columbus. He's probably calling San Jose. He's probably calling Montreal. Like, he's not – I don't think Anaheim is moving off of number two.
Either. I don't either.
No.
So, I would be really curious to see what it would take, but it's not happening. What I am very interested in seeing tonight, though – is, you know, look, we know Connor Bedard is going number one. We know Connor Bedard is going to play for the Chicago Blackhawks. We know Connor Bedard is going to kick the Predators' keister for a long time. Because
jeez,
he's that.
We're already going there, huh?
Well, I'm not saying like the Predators are bad. I'm just saying Connor Bedard is that good. Like, I think Connor Bedard is going to do to the Predators what Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. Oh, I guess Connor McDavid too, and Leon Draisaitl especially. But I think he's going to be that kind of play. Like, there is going to be develop. Predators fans are going to develop a healthy hatred for Connor Bedard.
No, there's no question about it.
I am looking forward to the reaction when his name is called.
I've already told him. Look, I know it's look. I know he's a kid at this point,
yes,
and this is a lifelong dream that he's about to accomplish tonight, so maybe it's the wrong time to do it. But, I mean, I kind of halfway expect Preds fans in the building tonight to just start booing.
Oh,
when
they
he gets
will.
Drafted.
He will. He will.
Might as well start it now, because you're going to be booing him for a long time.
Yes. I mean, I think Connor Bedard is going – yeah, I mean, if Predators fans – the name Patrick Kane, the name Jonathan Toews, it brings up a visceral reaction
for
Predators fans because those two kicked the Predators' tushies for a long, long time. And I think Bedard, I'm not saying the Blackhawks are going to own the Predators. Like, I'm not saying that. But Bedard, I'm saying that Bedard is an excellent player, and he's going to do a lot of things that make Predators fans mad because he's that good. So I'm just saying if you're going to the draft tonight, you better start booing because you're going to be doing that for the next 10 to 15 years.
Congratulations, Connor. On accomplishing a lifelong dream, here's an arena full of booze for you. It'll
yes,
be good.
You know, like any other location, probably there are probably some other teams.
Booze with an S, by the way, not a Z E.
Yeah,
he's too young for that in the States.
Well,
true. He is only 18.
Yeah,
he is a child.
Too young for that in Canada too.
Yes.
No, you can drink at 18.
I think you can drink at 18 in Canada.
Well, it was 19. I don't know.
Oh.
Who knows all the way?
I call New Orleans the Emerald City.
Who knows all the way up there?
A terrible start.
Who knows all the way up there? But no, look, I said it yesterday. If you're attending the draft tonight, it's the first round especially is a really cool experience. You know, day two of the draft is nothing like one because a lot of the kids are not there. Like
it's fast paced.
People want to get out of town. It's like it moves very quickly. Night one is really interesting. So it'll be a cool vibe. The players will be there. They'll be with their families. You'll see their instant reactions. They go up to the stage. They get the jersey. All those things. So it'll be if you've never attended an NHL draft and this is your first time, I think you're going to have a really good time.
It is really interesting, and I've not even really thought about this until right now.
The Emerald City is Seattle, by the way,
correct,
according to a texter.
There we go. So I've not even really thought about this until right now, but like my mind, we were going through the Johansson Kessler stuff yesterday back in 2017 against the Ducks. And it is interesting that the draft being here in Nashville is Chicago picking at number one, taking Connor Bedard. Anaheim's going to be picking at number two, and it's probably going to be Adam Fantilli. So, I mean, you could make an argument for your two most hated rivals, or at least at one time, your two most hated rivals picking 1-2. Here in Nashville and potentially getting generational players.
Yeah, Texter says Neil says the Blackhawks will get booed, not Bedard. Well, obviously they don't hate Connor Bedard, but he's going to.
Oh, I'm saying just get it started.
Yes, I'm just saying that he is going to go on stage. This generational talent, which I think is a term that's overused, but it does apply to Connor Bedard, and he's going to hold up the jersey of the team you hate the most. So he is going to be booed by proxy.
I'm saying boo him. Look, man, get it started. I'm cool with it. Go ahead, Preds fans.
Get liquored up, which we know how to do here in Nashville, and go boo this teenager.
Just boo him. I don't care.
It's
going to be very interesting.
Keep it classy. Keep it, you know, don't say anything mean. You know, don't make fun. Don't be mean
just
to his family.
Just get the rivalry started.
Just get the rivalry reignited. The Blackhawks have not been good for a while. They probably won't be good next year. But it adds a different dimension, a new layer to the rivalry. We know how good it can be. Just get started.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark from Nashville with a bonus rant this morning. Mark, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Robbie?
Good, buddy.
What's going on with Adam?
Hey, how are you?
Adam?
Good, good.
Hey, I'm doing okay. Hey, I got a real rant and a real rivalry to get started in Nashville today. I want to make some noise.
Okay.
It starts with this certain guy. We all know who he is. He comes on at 2 o'clock in the evening, leaves off at 6, and his name's Jared Steelman. And Steelman, I want to call you out today to let you know Mark from Nashville wants to debate you. Let Joe sit at home. Let Robbie sit at home. Let me take their place and debate you.
Okay.
It ain't a matter of if, but I can beat you and stuff. Just give me that opportunity and stuff. I know you're doing your little PhD stuff, riding your tricycle, doing your Bowflex thing. But, hey, Jared, give me a chance at an opportunity to beat you and stuff. All the callers, all the viewers, everybody that listens to this show, call in and say y'all want to see this rivalry get started. Mark from Nashville versus Jared Steelman. It must happen. Now, Robbie, I know you're debating Joe today, Steelman today. Same thing I'm going to tell you that I tell Joe, Robbie.
Let's do it.
Get you a nice cup of coffee. Relax. I know you're doing the hockey thing tonight with the draft. And just do your thing. Don't let him interrupt you. Don't let him overstate you, overtalk you. Stay focused, Robbie. And you can beat Steelman. You can chalk up a win in your column today if you just do those things, and you can beat Jared Steelman.
Mark, I'm going to be like Steve McNair tonight, man. It's just going to be aggressiveness from the jump. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. What you do? Now, Adam, you kind of stole a dove from Broadway Joe when he was debating Caroline that time. And I think it had to do something with Duke.
Probably.
Come on, Adam. Yeah, come on, Adam. You can't do that.
I mean, that was several weeks ago. I'm surprised to remember that.
Oh, Mark remembers.
Hey, tell him, Robbie, I take things personal when you deal with my guy, Joe.
That's right.
Broadway Joe. I have to, him and Robbie, I have to back him, man. I have to.
I hear you. I hear you.
Hey, Adam, that's my rant. But other than that, Adam, you're a cool guy. You're very knowledgeable. I listen to you talk about hockey. You're on your game, man. I like to hear you talk, Adam.
I appreciate that, Mark. Thank you for the pep talk.
I mean that respectfully. Now, my other rant is for Michelle. It's a good rant. I'm going to miss you, Michelle. Love you more than anything in this world. You're good as gold. I hate to see you go. I'm going to miss you terribly. But we'll stay in touch and whatever, whatnot. I'll miss you more than anything. But, Robbie, go and whoop Steelman today and do what you got to do. Steelman, take me up on that offer, man. You need to. Nashville needs a new rivalry, and it's me and you. I just want one time to steal the show and make some noise around Nashville.
I love it.
And if I got to use you to get it, I'm going to get it, Steelman.
That's right.
So, Robbie, y'all have a good day. Adam, good talking to you, man.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you, brother.
I am pumped now.
Love that guy.
I am pumped now. Kelton says, if you guys don't make this happen, I'm never listening to the station again.
Well, look, the decree has been sent forth by Mark. He wants Jared Steelman in a debate. The ball is now in Jared Stillman's court. I'm here for it. Mark will do a great job. I have no doubt about that. So we're going to see if we can set this up. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the NHL draft coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.